go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 50 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I'm laughing to myself because this is episode 50, as I previously said. The Big 5-0, we are 5 episodes away from internet early retirement. Promise you, we're not going to retire, but I do feel as though 50 episodes in, it is, I want to give you some insights to how we're doing here at Verbal Graffiti. Are we having success? If looking at the numbers, objectively, no, we are not having success. Verbal Graffiti at this very moment, 49, going into episode 50, is a clear objective failure by any metric. And let me be honest with what those metrics are. YouTube, I'm averaging between 5 to 15 views per episode. My reels, those short little 30-second videos that I do, the clips of the episodes, those aren't getting any views on YouTube. I looked at my last 20 reels that I've released on YouTube. They are getting zero. The big goose egg, I think of the last 10, one has gotten one view, and of the last 20, one have gotten 3 views. Total, I have had a few reels on YouTube that have gotten over 400, lower than 500 views. One I did about Gene Wilder and a couple others that I've released hundreds of reels. So I try to release 6 reels per week. So that's 3 reels per episode to try to reel people in to watch the entire episode. Let's go to the other platforms. Instagram. I'm probably having, I am having the most success as when thinking about views with Instagram. All of my reels are getting, averaging between 75 and 200 views. I've had a few that have gotten over 500. And it's weird because when I first started Verbal Graffiti, I was getting a lot of views. For me, that's 500 or more. And it's just slowly dissipating, and each week I'm getting a few less views, which I will be honest is very frustrating for me. Reason being is I believe the content quality we're producing here at Verbal Graffiti continues to increase. So while the product quality is increasing, in my not so humble opinion, the views are continuing a downward spiral, and I don't really know how to change that. I don't really like doing the hashtags. It seems needy. I don't search anything via hashtag, so maybe I need to learn how to title my videos more fancy. I don't know. I'm not an online expert. I'm just a content creator. That's what the B-Man is. But the real, that is my best that's my best social media site that people are viewing me on TikTok. The old TikTok, I am averaging, I don't know the exact number. I'll put up some metrics here so you can actually see. I am averaging probably between 5 and 30 views per reel that I release there. What are the other ones? On Twitter, X, I'm averaging, again, probably between 5 and 20 views per video. I've had a few that have gotten over 1,000. So that is the social media site where I am getting the most views. But again, it's just very few of those reels are taking off. And it's funny. I've had one that I released a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember which one. Oh, it was the one about lot lizards, about the truck drivers who fuck lot lizards. They cheat on their wives with them. It has over 1,000 views. It has one like. And the one like comes from me because I like all my reels because I make them and I like them. So I'm giving myself some love, even though the public doesn't seem to be loving them at all. I do not want to end up being like Van Gogh. I do not want to end up dying and finding success after death. I want to experience the success, the money, the fame. I don't really want the fame. I just want the babes and the money and having my family and friends be happy and know that, oh, I was actually somewhat successful at this. Honestly, at this point, I'd be very grateful just to have people see the art, the funny that I'm trying to create for the public, more so than the money or the fame or the accolades, the awards, the shows that I'd be able to do if that were to pop off. I've been over this for over a decade. I perform mostly in small bars and restaurants when I'm doing stand-up, and it seems like that small crowd, it seems to be the same on the internet. I thought this might branch out and I'd gain more of a following. Hey, the internet's a big place, though. Some say it's larger than space, and space, from if you believe the scientists and the lab coats, they say that is infinite. Infinity? I don't really know how to count that high, so yeah, maybe it'll take some longer to find a following here on our corner of the internet, if there are corners on the internet. There's the other forms, Facebook. I put everything on Facebook. Honestly, I try to avoid even looking at Facebook, so I don't know what my view totals are there. I think Instagram and Facebook are the same now, so when you post one on Instagram, it goes automatically to Facebook. So I'm assuming it's not more than 100 views per reel, which is not any way to make a living. I have been trying to put them on the podcast on Apple and Spotify. I'm averaging about, I think I have less than 100 total listens or downloads. And again, a lot of those are from me, because I like to listen to the audio and see and start to hate myself when I listen to it. So, but I've been trying to do the other platforms as well, like Blue Social, or is it Blue Sky, and Telegram. I can't figure out how to upload videos to those platforms, though. I'm an idiot with technology, as all 7W know. But hey, am I going to quit? No. Why would I quit? I spent all this money on this equipment. As I said earlier, I do believe the content is getting better. I think I'm starting to find a flow. I'm being more myself. There's not as many of those awkward pauses between segments and sentences. I'm starting to get used to talking to myself in an empty room in front of a camera without a small audience that is not paying attention. And most importantly is I am enjoying it, even though it's taking up most of my time. Free time. I don't do anything with my free time anyway. This is what I would be doing if I didn't do this. I'd be scrolling through X. I'd be watching some dumb 4-part documentary on Netflix that they could have put into an hour, but they make it 4 parts so they could monetize it more. We all know that. Stop teasing us. Just give us 1 hour hard-hitting documentary. We don't need a 6-part documentary on some serial killer. Like, we don't need that. Just get to the point. That's what we do with Verbal Graffiti. Get to the point. Get to the funny. Move on to the next one. Bang, bang, bang. See you next week. See you Monday, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. But I am enjoying it. It takes a lot of work, we'll admit, but I am a workaholic. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have kids. I have comedy. I have my health. I have my family. I don't have any pets. This is what I do. So without this, I wouldn't have anything. So I'm going to continue to do it. And at episode 100, I will give you another update. How about we do that? Every 50 episodes, I'll give an update. I'll let you see some of the internal numbers, and we'll go from there. Do want to say, I love how Biden just backed off and peaced the presidency with some random tweet that he did on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now. That's such a B-man move. That is who I am, because I avoid confrontation. I've I I was reading his letter to the American public, Joe Biden, saying he's not going to run for re-election. And again, by the time you see this, he might be dead. I don't know. But I was reading that, and I go, wow, what a power move just to walk away without even having to confront the nation. There's a letter. There's no video of him signing it or writing it. It reminds me of when I was in third grade. I made the all-star baseball team, the B-man. I was the pitcher of the year in minor B. I think I made the minor A before I officially quit baseball. But anyways, I made the all-star team, which is a big deal as a kid. So it was during summer. First week of practice, we had two-a-days. We had morning, we had a late afternoon practice, and our coach told us in between practices we were not allowed to swim because swimming would make us tired and it would ruin our muscles for that second practice where we were going to learn how to slide in a second and do a crow hop. And after a week, I was like, fuck this. This sucks. I want to play wiffle ball. I want to go swimming. I want to go find an ice cream truck and get some fun dip. So I quit. And how did I quit? Same thing President Biden did. I didn't show up. I didn't tell the coach. I didn't tell anybody. I avoided the confrontation. And I knew the coach would call my parents after they got home from work. So what I did is I jumped on my Huffy. It was a neon orange one, a 10-speed, I believe. And I just rode around my block from probably 5 p.m. till 9 p.m., till the sun went down. That way, I knew I could avoid when my coach would call, and I knew my parents would put me on the phone with my coach and tell him that I quit, and I didn't want that awkward conversation, so I just rode my bike until sundown to avoid it. And then when I came home, my parents kind of yelled at me, told me that I was very immature, and to this day, I still do it. I have not grown up at all in that regard to confrontation. One time I broke up with a girlfriend. I did on voicemail, turned my phone off, did not turn on till the next morning. Every job I've had, I've either gotten fired or when I quit and left, I didn't tell anybody. 2 weeks notice, nope. I just don't show up the next day. And after a while, your employer kind of figures out, oh, the B-man, he ain't coming back. And then we move on. They're corporate America. I who cares about them? That's who I am. Even I had a therapist 2 years ago, maybe last year, I was seeing her. We talked every week. I told her about everything. When I decided it was time to put the kaput on that, did I tell her? No. I sent her an email, and then I did not open up my Gmail for another 2 weeks. I need to improve. I need to improve getting viewers to verbal graffiti and learning how to be more confrontational. That is the goal going forward in my personal life and here for verbal graffiti. Here is a Reddit post that I found on the subreddit Just Neckbeard Things. I believe that's probably an insult towards men. The things neckbeards say about women. Well, let's find out what they say. So some ladies deliberately get pregnant up to 4 months to their birthday for their boobs to become big, terminate the baby weeks to their birthday just to look good in their photos. Yep, period. Nope. I don't know any lady who's gotten pregnant for the sole purpose of looking good in her birthday photos 4 months later. Now, this neckbeard does know pregnancies because 4 months, that is the sweet spot of being pregnant. That is the point, I say, average. The mean 4 months, that's the perfect part of the pregnancy where, yes, your boobs do get a little plump. Your ass does get a little wide, but you don't get the fat in all the other areas. Like, you're not really, your belly isn't protruding yet. Your thighs aren't super thick yet. Your feet aren't swollen. You're not waddling. It really is the perfect 4 months is the perfect point of a pregnancy to get fucked. Because once you get to 5 months, like that mid-second trimester, you start with the waddle when you're pregnant. And nobody wants to fuck a waddler. And before 4 months, you don't have anything. It's kind of your whatever your body is before the pregnancy. So no one's going to be drawn to that who isn't already drawn before. Does that make sense? So I think you're completely wrong with this, although you do know pregnancies. I have heard of birth control, how babes will strategically use their birth control or time it so that when they have their wedding and post-honeymoon, they don't get their period during that time period. And I have also heard in my earlier days of, especially like late teens, early 20s, there were friends of ours who would get on birth control for the sole purpose of getting boobs. Because I think that is one of the side effects of, or one of the benefits of getting on a birth control, especially the pills, is it can make you a little bit more busty than you already are. But now thinking back about that, because we would come home from college and we'd see like the girls from high school that we grew up with, and they would have bigger boobs. So my friend group would assume, oh, that girl must be on birth control. But now thinking back, well, maybe they just grew boobs naturally, because, you know, you were during that growing up, you know, late teens, you kind of are, your dick's getting bigger, your balls are getting bigger, you're getting more masculine. Same thing with the babes. So now that I think about that, maybe all those girls weren't on birth control. They were just becoming more, growing into women, as I guess I could say. But I don't think any babe is getting pregnant just for good photos. No, you babes don't need to get pregnant because you all have your PhD in photography and making your boobs look better than they really are. You have a litany of ways you go about that. And I know, we're all on you. Us guys who are growing up, we know. Us Chads, we know. You're using those chicken cutlet things you put in your bra, those rubber, you know what I'm talking about. You put those in your bra, you have push-up bras, you have wire bras, you can wear multiple tops to make yourself look a little bustier. You can put tissues in your bra, you can get breast implants, you could do stuff with makeup to make your cleavage look a little bit more deceiving than it really is. You could give any Western lady, you could give, so what? How shall I say this? I believe, to my core, you could give any Western lady some scrap metal and adhesive, and she can MacGyver her boobs from a flat A to a busty C. She'll make David Blaine, any trick he's doing, look like a card trick. That's how magical women can make your boobs look. It is amazing. You make all yourselves look stunning in photos. I can't, B-Man, I have been on the dating apps in my past, not presently, because I've gotten frustrated with them, but every time I've been on a date with someone I met off of line, they look better in their photos than they do in person. I strategically, when I was on the dating apps, I would put photos of myself, which I did not have many, but I would put photos of myself looking uglier than I really do, which is not difficult to do, so that when I would go on a date, a lot of times the babe would say, oh, wow, you look a lot better in person than you do in your photos. And I would say, oh, thank you. And I would never return the compliment, because I could never say the same thing about her. Because you women, you know all the angles. And I'm hip to it. Like, you have the arm up. It's all about the angle. So you could kind of, you take the photo from up high so that we see your cleavage, but we don't see the belly underneath it. So if you're chubby, we know you're hiding that. So you hide yourself behind other people. If any kind of blemish you have, you filter it. There are all the face filters. Honestly, you go on a dating app now, and most women look like cartoon characters. They have so many filters, so many different screenshots. You all look like AI. Same thing with birthday photos. All you women know how to make a perfect birthday photo. And the two things I see most as a guy in my, you know, late 30s, early 40s, is the group photo. Hot babes in that age group are very strategic about inviting fatties and uglies to their birthday party. Because the best way to make yourself good in a photo, or make yourself look pretty in a photo, is to surround yourself with people who are not as attractive as you. I have a friend of a friend. She just had her 40th birthday. They were on a beach. They were all wearing the same bathing suit. And of course, all the other girls she was with were uglier, not as in shape as she was. And it made her look a hell of a lot better than she really is in real life. And I know she did that on purpose. And I know a lot of you do that on purpose. Not hating the game, just calling out what the game is. I would do the same thing too if I were a lady. If you've had a baby, I have noticed, if you have a baby and you're unable to lose your belly fat, we'll never see your midsection in a photo ever again. You'll always hide it somehow. Your belly will be behind a table, or you'll be holding your baby like right in front of your belly, or you'll do a group photo where you'll tell Michelle to lean down. That's another key, okay? Everybody, of all the babes, if you have like a group photo, all the babes in the back who have their like chest below hidden, those are the ladies who are insecure about their bodies. Again, and nothing wrong with being insecure. I'm just calling out facts here at Verbal Graffiti. Is there anything else that the babes are experts at when it comes to photo taking? You're magical with your photos. I'm quite frankly, I'm jealous. I wish I knew how to use all those filters. I wish I knew all the angles. I wish I knew how to make myself more attractive here on these videos. People compliment me on the lighting. No one ever compliments me on the way I look, though. I've picked up on that. But hey, thank you for the compliments to the fewer than 10 of you who listen and watch these videos. This guy, though, this is a perfect match in heaven. The guy, the neckbeard who thinks babes are getting pregnant just to have a good photo, and the babes who are actually getting pregnant just to have that good birthday photo with the busty boobs, those two are a match made in heaven. Stupidity at first sight. Finally, not all abortions are equal. All right, you have your 15-year-old who gets molested by her swim coach. Yes, that's one abortion. But then there's also the lady working in middle management who's getting an abortion right after her glamour shot. Those are not equal. Let's go see some photos. The B-Man, I got to take some responsibility for not having a lot of viewers here. I always forget to do my job as a host. And I'm going to do it right now. Remember to like, subscribe, to share a clip that you might enjoy with a family member or a friend, or perhaps an ex that you cheated on, or maybe a supervisor that you stole money from and got fired because of it when you got caught. Whatever you like, share it with somebody you know, even a mortal enemy, and that's how we'll get this thing going. I'm looking to the screen right now, and I've noticed that I am wearing dark green on light green. Not sure if that matches or not. I do recall I did have a van I drove in high school, a Dodge Ram 1984 van, no back seats. It was half light brown, half shit brown. Reminds me of my outfit right now. I got voted a worst car my senior year. That was a superlative I won. That first segment went long, so let's get into this next one because it's a bit of a long one as well. I found this on the subreddit Social Skills. Clearly, I need some help with those myself. Left after an hour and shocked the host. I've been there. I guess this stems from an etiquette question. I need to learn how to speak, but I need to know what social skills to use in the aftermath of what happened. My husband and I, upper 30s, we're invited to our next-door neighbor's granddaughter's first birthday party. The invite text my husband received said, "The party starts at 11. Stop by anytime. Please don't bring anything." That's an odd request. Some background. Yes, please. These neighbors have invited us to multiple things over the past 3 years since we moved here, and we have declined for one reason or another, every time. Although there's always been a good reason, I feel increasingly rude about this. So this time, I made sure my husband postponed his plans for the day so we could go to the birthday party for a while. We have never met the neighbor's children or grandchildren. Awkward. They were all in from out of town. There was only family there. So we were a little out of place, you don't say? We made small talk with everyone there. Oh, hate that. Wandered the property and had a drink. The food was running late. It had been an hour. So that's noon. My husband said we should leave before everyone sits down to eat, or we'd be sitting at family dinner. So we went to let the host know we were going to get going, and the wife was shocked. She couldn't hide her facial expression. I said, "We wanted to let you eat as a family." And she instantly recovered, and we said our goodbyes. Peace out. Since then, they've been distant towards us, and I think we offended them. My husband says, that's on them. So, etiquette question. Did we misinterpret stop by to mean something else? Like stay for a meal and happy birthday and not just for an hour? Did we leave too soon? And does this warrant an apology? It's been 2 weeks, but I'm terribly embarrassed. What to do? What to say? Irish exit, Irish exit, Irish exit. Say it again with me. Irish exit. That was your big mistake during this whole escapade, is telling the host, the wife, that you were leaving. I am a big proponent of Irish exit, exits. I need to learn how to say that. When you tell people you're leaving, then you have to explain why you're leaving. So you have to come up with an excuse, which means you're lying to everybody. And that turns into a 20-minute to 30-minute exercise before you actually leave, especially if there's a lot of people at the party. So that's why I dip out. Irish exit, even if someone... Okay. This past winter, I went to a bar called Grand Central, downtown area. My friend Cheese drove me there. I Irish exit when he was my ride home. It was snowing. There was an ice storm. I wanted to leave. Instead of telling him I wanted to leave, I just dipped out of the bar and walked like 2 miles before he started driving and found me on the side of the road, falling down and stumbling, and made me get into his car. I Irish exit all the time. My family, friends know I show up late, I leave early, I don't tell people when I'm coming and I'm going, and that makes your life easier. It would have made this event much easier. You would have had less regrets if you had done that, but you didn't do that. Please do that going forward. Let's move on. So they invited you to a granddaughter's birthday party, one-year-old party that you've never met the parents of that child or the grandchild, his or herself. That's weird. If I were you, if I were your husband and I got that invitation in the mail, I would immediately crumple it up, throw it in the garbage, and not even mention it to you. Because that's being invited to a child's birthday when the neighbors really have never interacted with you and you've never met any of those kids. That's grounds for calling DCF. They don't know who you are. You could be an alcoholic. You could be a weekend drug user. You could have some weird kind of swinging alternative lifestyle. Like, imagine you invited me. Like, I'm your neighbor. You think I'm a good guy. I go to work every day. I exercise outside. I seem like a normal person. You don't know I'm doing this. You invite me to your party, and I start showing everyone there reels of verbal graffiti. And then after I leave, they're going to be like, who the fuck did you invite to this party? That's what you should have done. You should have Irish exited. You should have not even have attended and thrown the invitation away. I got to admit, 3 years, though. You took 3 years before going... accepting an invitation to go to a party at your neighbor's house. That is the perfect time to go to your neighbor's house. 3 years, that gives them enough time to do all the updates on that house that they're going to do. So 3 years, You go to that party and you do some snooping. You can find out all the obvious updates they made, whether that be with like hardwood floors, granite countertops. You can see how they rearranged the bedrooms. You could ask more probing questions like, have you gotten a new water heater? How's the plumbing? How's your furnace? You could really figure out how much updating they've done or not done. Everyone wants to know what their neighbors have done so they could kind of compare their house to their own and the real estate value. So 3 years, that was a sweet spot to go to a party. So I do applaud you for that. You need to start getting a little bit more aggressive with your neighbor. You have declined every invitation for the first 3 years. They've been your neighbor and they have invited you to a lot of events or so it seems from your post, and you've rejected every one of them until this one. And that's a little weird to me because you've rejected all these invitations and then they still invited you to a granddaughter's one-year-old birthday when you've met nobody in the family. At that point, it's time for you to leave a note on their front door that says, hey, fuckers, we moved to the suburbs to get away from annoying neighbors. So shut the fuck up with all these invitations. We're never going to see you. If you keep trying to bother us with these invitations, we're going to have our dog take a shit in your front lawn every morning. So stop with the invitations. We want to be secluded by ourselves. Peace out. But you didn't do that. You went to the party. Now, for how long you should have stayed at this party? If you know the party, which you didn't, but let's just go with a normal child's birthday. I believe the unspoken rule is you got to stay at the party until happy birthday is sang. Once you sing happy birthday, you can peace out, do some burnouts in the, you know, out in the suburb road and go home. I think that I went to a birthday party, a two-year-old's birthday party a couple weeks ago. I was there a few hours, had a couple high noons, took a dip in the pool. Once happy birthday was sang, it was like 6 p.m. That's when I went home and went out and did stand-up. If you stay till happy birthday, the parents who organized that party, they cannot bitch about you afterwards. You are unbitchable if you stay that long. Now you don't have to stay for dinner. Happy birthday. You don't have to wait till opening the presents. You're not getting any presents. So why the fuck would you stay for that? Nope. Happy birthday to you. Goodbye. If it's a person you don't know and this is your neighbor, I don't think you should have to stay till happy birthday or family dinner. One high noon, all right? You have one high noon. You do some small talk, like you said. However long it takes your wife, the wife, to drink a high noon, that's how long you stay. If I'm the husband, my wife's drinking a high noon, I'm sneaking around the house, I'm trying to find the good booze, the expensive bottle of tequila or whiskey, I'm pouring myself a mixed drink so they don't know I took the goods, and once I finish that drink, we're Irish exiting. And when they ask me like days later what happened, I just blow them off. So yeah, one high noon, so 1 hour. I think you stay the appropriate time period. Now, what you need to know, as their neighbors, you are now in a neighborly cold war. Your neighbors do not like you. They took your actions. You're leaving before 1 p.m. Before 1 p.m. kickoff, you peaced out and left. You are now in a cold war. So you just got to understand, you're never going to have a good relationship with your neighbors. If they do start talking shit to other neighbors in the hood about you, that's when you need to heat up the cold war. And you do so by just doing irritating things to your neighbors. Like, you need to put up trees along the property line so that you guys don't see each other. And you need to start mowing your lawn at 7 a.m., You need to drink beer bottles and throw them over the fence or the trees that you put up. You need to, if they keep talking shit and they keep upping the stakes, that's when you need to start walking naked in your house with the blinds open. The more shit they talk, the more heat you add to the Cold War. Because you are at a war now, and you need to accept that. So either you got to accept the fact you're in war mode, or you got to put your house for sale and never see these neighbors again. Fuck your neighbors. Fuck people who invite you to a one-year-old's birthday party you've never met when they don't really know who you are. And to everybody else, go suck a fat one.